But it's a beautiful day to be in the Lord. And I wanted to really follow up with a sermon that I preached a few months ago. For those of you who were here, I preached a sermon on hope. And in that sermon, there was, there were several different things, but I looked at the word hope and the word faith and realized that there was differences between the two. And this morning, I'm going to talk about another word that we use often, and that's the word trust. We use these words, faith, hope, trust. We use them often. We use them sometimes interchangeably. Sometimes we just very easily say, I trust in God, I hope in God, I have faith in God, all those different things. And really, they are somewhat interchangeable in many different ways, but there's also a very distinctive difference between all three of those words. And for those of you, now I realize that those of you who heard my sermon a few months ago, you remember every single point about it. You jotted it down. You've redone the notes three or four times looking over them, right? But just in case you weren't there, let me give you a little summary of the difference between faith and hope. We talked about the fact that they were sort of interchangeable, but they were different as well. We said that faith was more akin to what I know. It comes from my head. It's that knowledge and that understanding of God, His truth, what He says of Himself, His character, His nature. It becomes my faith. It's what I believe in. In fact, the Word says that faith is also a gift from God. It's not just my acquiring of knowledge, but it's a gift. But it is based on understanding of who God is. Where hope is more akin to a feeling, an emotion, something that rises up within me. It propels me to action. It gives me confidence and boldness. It's that stuff that stirs within my gut. It goes beyond just faith. It's stuff that rises up within me. But we also said in that sermon that hope's foundation has to be faith. If it isn't built upon truth, if it isn't built on the faith of who God is, then it merely becomes good intended wishes. My hope is based on nothing else. But Hebrews says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I used the illustration of this chair, and I said several years ago I had the great opportunity of switching out our 20-minute vinyl chairs for something a little more comfortable here in the sanctuary. And I went searching for a chair, and I looked online, and I started to read about this chair, and I looked at specs on how it was made and how it was constructed, and I began to get a good knowledge of this chair. And from that knowledge sprung hope that if I purchased this chair for this house, then it would do what it said it was going to do. It would be comfortable. It would wear well. People could sit in it a little longer than 20 minutes without getting uncomfortable. And it would last and it would endure. And that became my hope. My hope was built upon the foundation of what I understood to be true. That was my hope. Now let's introduce this word, trust. You see, trust is another word that we throw around sometimes, and I want to show how trust is related to faith and to hope. At the beginning of this year, God was just stirring in my heart, and I began to focus on that word, trust. I began asking God, what is it, really, do I trust you? How much do I trust you? And I say I'm a man who trusts God, and do I really, what does that look like? And I've been on a journey over the past few months, and in that journey, God has revealed a lot about trust and what it looks like in my life. And I wanted to share some of that stuff this morning with you, what God revealed, because it's important to know when we say, I trust God, what does it really mean? If you would walk into my office, I trust God. I have this all along a real long wall in my office. And I put it up there for a couple purposes. First of all, I wanted it to be my prayer. I trust God. I want to trust you more, God. I want to trust you. It was a declarative statement. I trust God, to remind me of where my trust needs to be placed, needed to be placed in God. And I was sitting back one day, just looking at my wall and reading that and questioning, do I really trust you, God? And what does that look like? And what came to my mind really was this second picture. I often trust God. Where my heart and my desire was to trust Him in every circumstance, every situation, every area of my life, to fully trust Him. When I really became honest with myself, I realized that there were places where trust wasn't so high, or maybe even non-existent, and that the true statement would be, I often trust God. Now, for some of you, your sign on your wall may look like this. I rarely trust God. Not even 50% of the time. Maybe some things, but not everything. And some of you who are really, really honest, this is the sign. I don't trust God. Trust is very important. And it's important that we realize what trust is. Because I believe today God wants to instill a greater measure of trust inside of your life. And to know what that trust actually looks like and how it works and operates inside of your life and why it is so, so important. If you have your Bibles, and I have it up on the slide, but I want us to read Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Very common scripture for us. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You see, my faith, what I believe and know to be true in my life, tells me that I should and can trust God and trust the Lord God in my life, because there's several different reasons. First of all, His word is trustworthy. We read that in Psalms and in Titus, that His word is trustworthy. We also know that His nature and His character is faithful and true. That we know about God. And also that His plans for us are perfect and they're purposeful. I was not created by mistake, and there were plans and purposes for my life. I was not born out of chance, but I was born out of a design of God on my life for my purpose and for what I would accomplish and who I would be in this world. His word, His nature, His plans are all trustworthy. And so therefore, I can trust on the Lord, to have confidence in Him and to be confident and bold. But this context of this word trust, when I got reading it, particularly in this Proverbs, was more akin to an action word. For you linguists, it was a verb. It showed and it connected to action, that as I trust, there's something that happens in my life that is more of an action. It's not just a feeling, but it's more of an action. See, faith is what I know and believe to be true. And that's based on the word of God and the gift of faith and that He's given to me. Hope is what I feel. But trust is more akin to this. I have faith. I hope that this chair will hold my weight. Trust, I stand on it. That's more akin to what trust is. It is always involved with an action. And the Lord wants us to be people who trust Him. In this journey of understanding what trust really looks like, I had an experience that was really, really fun. Let me show you this picture here. This is Alana. Alana is now 3 years old, and Alana showed me what trust looked like. I was visiting Alana and her parents over at their house. That's their house. And Alana was climbing on those steps. You can see there's stairs that go up. And she was on the outside of the banister, just like that. But she was facing the inside of the stair. And she climbed to the top of that stair. And I was sitting on the floor underneath her. And Alana looked over at me and she goes, "Ready?" And I go, okay. And she fell backwards. And I caught her. Yay. The parents thanked me. And so this became a little game. She'd climb up on the stairs and she'd go, "Ready?" And, boom, and fall back. We did this like 4 or 5 times. And the Lord showed me in that, just that little simple thing, that's what trust in me looks like. No fear, no reservation. Lana would climb up, just fall back. You see, trust looks like an action. And I want us to read Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 again. And this is from the Amplified Version because I think it helps clarify some of the points that I want to make this morning. Let's read this together. It says, "Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all of your heart. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize Him, and He will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way." I love that translation. You see, trust comes more from my heart than my head. This verse tells us that I rely on the Lord God and I'm not dependent on everything that I can understand or figure out. When I trust Him, it's birthed inside of my heart to believe and be dependent upon Him more than I can try to understand how something's going to work out, how things are going to turn out, how this is going to get solved, or how this need is going to be met. It's not me figuring it out. Trust comes from my heart and not my head. But it is also part of me acknowledging Him or being dependent upon Him. As this verse says, that I acknowledge Him, I recognize Him, I pursue Him, and I allow Him to be part and parcel with everything in my life. Not just one little area, but every area of my life. The big things, the small things. I acknowledge Him. I recognize He is moving in my life. He is part of my life, and I recognize Him. And I trust Him that He is the one that directs me and leads me and even smooths out the rough places that I'm encountering. It's Him. It's not me. I love the promise in Isaiah. If you can quickly turn there. Isaiah 42, verse 16. It's a promise of God. And let me just read it here. It says, "I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them." What a great promise for those who trust in the Lord. And He smooths out the rough places. He's the one that directs our path. I am walking on a path, but He's directing my path. It's not always me directing my path. It's Him active in my life. And so the question for me was, okay, God, well, how much do I really trust you in my areas of life? What does that look like? And you know what? It's really difficult to measure trust. It's difficult to put it on a scale. So I had Bonnie Murdoch help me create a scale, and I call it the Trustometer. Now, I want you to use the trustometer, and in a few moments, I'm going to bring up some points, and I want you to apply it to different areas of your life. Because the reality, when I was honest with myself and I said I often trust God, the reality was that there were certain areas in my life where I really, 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 really trusted God. And there were other areas in my life where I really, really, really didn't know. You see, and so it's not one trustometer fits all circumstances. It will be different. But I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what areas of your life are you lacking in trust, and your arrow is going a little bit toward that don't trust side. And so this meter will be different for everybody and for every situation. But I realized I couldn't measure trust, but I could look at the byproducts of trust, the things that are associated with trust or not trust. And that's what we're going to use the meter for. Let's look at our first byproduct. The byproduct is peace. Now, there is a direct correlation between trust and peace and don't trust and fear. In fact, when I look at situations and the circumstances in my life, and I am fearful inside of me, chances are it's because my trust isn't very high. Likewise, when there's peace over a situation and over a circumstance or over a decision that I have to make, chances are that my trust is pegging more to that side of trust and complete trust. You see, we can maybe not understand if we really trust God or not, but we can look at the peace in our life when we come into a circumstance or a situation where we have to make a decision, and we can ask ourselves, do I trust God, or do I fear what may happen? If you look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, talking about God, he says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Isaiah 12, verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah the Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And a very familiar one with us in Psalm chapter 56, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. You see, when I live in trust, I live in peace. I walk in peace. The decisions I have to make, the circumstances around me, when I trust the Lord God, I will walk in peace. And likewise, if there's not peace, it's an indication that you have to ask yourself, how much trust do I have in the Lord God? Here's another byproduct: assurance and doubt. That assurance that says, I know what God has said to me. I am following what he says. I am being obedient. That assurance of walking in boldness and confidence in who God is and who he has said for you to be. See, that is a part of walking in trust, is to know, am I assured of what he says? And there's different verses here. If you look, there's in Ephesians, it talks about we have the assurance that we can walk in boldness and confidence. In Psalm and in Daniel, it says it's the assurance that even in times of trial and situations and circumstances, he will deliver us. In Psalm again, that he will give us answers when we don't know how to respond, that when we were put before our adversary, he will show us what the answer is. That he will give us strength and protection. That is the assurance of what his word says. When I trust him, I am assured. I don't walk in doubt. I have assurance. And that in Hebrews chapter 10, it says that I will receive the promises of God, because his promises are sure. They're yea and amen. That is how we walk when we walk in trust. I live my life with assurance. I move forward in what God has called me to do and who he's called me to be. I move forward with assurance and not with doubt in my life. And so that is a byproduct. The next byproduct is the one that's probably the most difficult for me to have walked through. And I continue to walk through it. Now, I want to explain this. Manipulation as opposed to rest. When I talk about manipulate, I'm not talking about something evil or evil intent to get somebody to do something for my good necessarily. That's not what I'm talking about. Nor am I talking about rest being that rest where I don't do anything, I'm asleep, I'm just like hanging around and I'm not active. I'm not talking about that type of rest. What I'm talking about here is that when I trust God, when He has said to me and when He's promised things to me, and I know in my heart and my spirit is quickened that I understand what God is going to do in a situation, rest means I don't try to manipulate situations to come out to the end that I think that they should. You see? Because sometimes we hear God and we know what He says. We have great assurance of what He said in our lives. And we see the situation in front of us. And we have this cockiness that says, you know what, let me just help God out a little bit here. When I fully trust God, it doesn't mean that I'm not obedient and do what He says, but it means that I allow Him to manipulate the circumstances and the situations, and I can rest and let Him do what He wants to do. That's a great indicator, I know, in my life, is how much am I at peace and at rest in the situation, trusting Him that He is going to accomplish what He has promised He's going to accomplish. And I don't have to help Him out. That is the byproduct of trusting God. So I don't manipulate, I rest. And then finally, when I trust God, I focus and I don't wander. What I mean by that is sometimes we go through life and we know that God has given us decisions to make. We have to move forward. We have to give an answer. And when we fully trust God, we're intentional about what we're supposed to do. We're not wandering around and playing the what-if games. Well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. How do I, you know, how's this going to work out? Whatever, you know, and maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that, maybe I should do the other thing. Thing that when we have heard God, trust says I can be intentional and I can focus like a laser beam on what He has said and I can do it. You see, it's a big difference to be decisive or indecisive. And God wants His people to become very decisive. He wants us to know and to trust Him so that when we hear Him, there's no second answer. It's only one answer. That our yes is yes and our no is no, because we've heard God and we trust in Him. So I want to put up all four of those things. Okay. Now, I want you, you can take this meter and you can look at different areas of your life and you can say, how much do I trust and how much do I don't trust? And so it will be different for everyone's life and everyone's situation. But I'm going to use an example here that I think most of us can relate to. And I'm going to throw an example out here. And I want you to check your meters, okay? Check your trustometers on this situation, okay? Are you ready? Tuesday, November 8th. See, this is real world. This is real life. Boy, I heard the needles just going like... You see, this is real world. This is what, in the course of all the craziness of this election that I had to walk through myself and say, God, how much do I trust You? Do I have peace that as I pray for direction on how I'm going to cast my vote. Do I have peace that I am hearing to the best of my ability your heart, your will, and so when I go in to vote, that I can vote with peace? Do I have assurance that you are God and you are more powerful than any president, any political party, anything else? Do I trust you? That's right. Do I trust you even more than my brothers and sisters of the electorate who's going to cast a vote? Do I trust you? Can I rest that I don't have to manipulate other people's votes because I'm fearful that they might not vote like me? You see, that's trusting God. Do I know and have intention on what I'm going to do and why I'm going to do it? And I trust God that regardless of who is president, the word tells me that God can move the heart of an evil king. Do I trust him that the kingdom of God is not going to collapse no matter who's elected? In fact, it just may rise up. Yeah. But that's real world for us. And there's other situations in our lives that we need to trust God. I mentioned that this was, you know, trust was an action word. Trust does give us peace. When I trust more, I live in peace. When I trust more, I have more assurance in him. When I trust, I can rest. And when I trust, I can focus on what he's called me to be and to do. But why is it more important? I love all those things. I love to be at peace, and I love to be at rest, and I love to have focus and all of those things. But as I said, this word trust is an action word, and trusting God allows me, as I mentioned before, to be who God's called me to be and to do what God has called me to do. And this is because trust allows me to take risks. And I can never be who God wants me to be or to do what God wants me to do unless there's risk involved. That's what trust is all about. And it's directly tied to obedience. Okay? Trust and obey. Some of you remember that old hymn, right? Trust and obey, for there's no other. Yeah, I won't sing it now. Half the congregation first service walked out when I started singing, so I'm going to stop. Anyway, trust has to be followed up with obedience. And obedience is followed with trust. See, I cannot fully, totally, and completely trust God and yet sit on my derriere and not move forward to what God has called me to be and to do out of fear or intimidation or lack of knowledge or worry about what's on the road ahead. That's not fully trusting and obeying. You see, trust is moving with God and with his kingdom, following with him, doing what he says, following him, taking risks. And the only way I can take risk is to trust him. That's what I have to do. See, our obedience must be full and willing, or we don't fully trust. And it doesn't mean, now watch this, trust does not mean carelessness or indifference. It doesn't. It's not, oh, well, I guess everything's going to just turn out okay. That's not trust. It's not drifting headlessly in with the tide. And it's quite the opposite. Trust is intentionally heading into what God has said. That is trust. With all the faith that God has given to me and the hope that spurs me on with encouragement and with boldness, that is trust. See, trust does look at things the way they are. It sees the problems and the circumstances and the issues. It sees the need and it doesn't disguise the need. It sees the difficulties and doesn't discount that there are difficulties. But trust looks beyond those needs and those difficulties and those circumstances, looks beyond them and sees God. Sees a God who's more than able, more than willing, more than powerful enough to do anything he says he's going to do. That's what trust looks like. Trust looks like the shepherd boy David, who went before Goliath in battle. And he looks at Goliath and he says, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And today I'm taking off your head." That's what trust looks like. And God wants us to be a people who fully trust Him. That does not mean, fully trusting Him doesn't mean that we won't have circumstances and situations that are difficult. I realized that the beginning of this year, what happened? I was praying and I was thinking about this word trust, and I was saying, "God, I want to trust you more." And that's sort of like praying, "God, I want more patience." Because there's been situations and circumstances, things I'm even walking through now, where I'm learning what it really, really means to trust Him. Because trust grows out of the experience of trusting Him. When I trust Him with small things, I can trust Him with a little bigger thing. I can trust Him with large things because of my experience in trusting Him. And I realize that as I'm getting older, I said, "God, I don't want to be the latter years of my life asking a question. Did I trust you?" I would rather have made mistakes, walked through difficulties, had situations that were really tough to walk through, than to end my life with the question, "What if? What if I just trusted you? What if I just believed in what you said was true and I trusted you to do the work?" That's the kind of trust God wants us to have in our lives, where we take risk, that we're bold, that we trust Him. Even times we make mistakes, because goodness gracious, God is a gracious and merciful God. And He can even take our mistakes and He turns them in for good. See, faith is what I know. It's the foundation of everything. That's why knowledge and that understanding of who God is, His character and His nature, is so important, because that's the foundation of everything in our lives. The foundation of our faith is not a feeling. It's an understanding and a knowing that's imparted to us of who He is, who He says He is, His nature and His character, and what He's promised to be in our lives. That's why we're doing on Sunday mornings the Bible classes and the topical classes, is so that we could build up our faith, understand more of who He is and what He says about Himself, so that we can build on that faith, so hope can be built upon that. Hope is what I feel. It's that emotion and that impetus to make bold decisions in our lives. And we have to understand who He is by faith, but then hope rises up within us because it's built upon the solid faith in who God is. But trust is what I do. Trust is birthed out of faith, and it's birthed out of hope. And in fact, I put up this little equation. It doesn't work perfectly, but it helps me illustrate a point. Trust comes from my faith and my hope. But there's one missing element that we haven't talked about this morning. And that element is my intimacy with God. Now, let me illustrate this. A little shy of 29 years ago, I met a beautiful young lady called Joy. And Joy eventually became my wife. And in the process of getting to know Joy, I heard about her. I heard that she was a trustworthy young lady because I knew her extended family. And so I did my research. And I found out that she was worthy of trust. And so we began to develop our relationship. And in the midst of that, my emotions started to stir, and I started to have hope that just maybe this is the one, that someday she would be my wife. That hope rose up within me. Then there came a point where I said, okay, I'm focused, I'm in. And I made a commitment to marry her, and we got married. And that commitment began our life together. But my trust in her grew as I became intimate with her, that I shared my life with her, everything about my life. We shared the good times and the bad times, the struggles and the times of rejoicing. We shared the times when we couldn't pay the bills and the times when we had extra money to buy each other a present. We shared in all of those times. And our trust in God is directly tied to our intimacy with Him. You see, God, He is trustworthy. And He desires to have relationship with us. And we make that decision because we accept His Son, Jesus Christ. And that seals us together with God as a son and a father, or as a daughter and a father, because of that relationship. But intimacy comes as I walk my life out with God, and I don't confine Him to an hour and a half on Sunday morning, but that God is everywhere in my life, that I acknowledge Him in all ways in my life, every single circumstance, in every problem, in every situation. I learn to communicate to Him. I learn to hear His voice. He hears my voice often, and we talk, and He shows me, and He guides me, and He leads me on whether it's the huge, big decisions that I have to make, or it's the small ones. If it's what I do with a career in my life or how I vote, He is part of that. And as I learn to become more intimate with Him, my trust grows with Him. I would dare say that if you look in areas of your life where you are struggling with trust in God, I encourage you to ask yourself, have I placed God in an intimate place in that situation? Have I talked to Him? Have I listened? Have I sought Him and searched Him and what He says? Because our intimacy will be directly tied to our trust, and our trust into our intimacy. See, with that intimacy, my trust grows. There's more peace, there's less fear, there's more assurance, there's less doubt, there's more rest, there's less manipulation, there's more focus, there's less wandering, and it also gives me the boldness to take risk in my life as I trust Him more. Will you pray with me? Only You know, You and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now. Only You know where you're at in your trust in the Lord, or even in your faith, or even perhaps in your relationship with Him. See, we can know about God, can even think He's trustworthy, but our trust has to grow out of first making a relationship with Him. And if you are here this morning and you have not made that commitment to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I encourage you that today's the day. If you want to live in peace and you want to live in assurance and you want to live as a very focused individual, that all comes because you have relationship with Him. So I'm going to take just a moment, and if that's you this morning, you say, really, I have never made a relationship commitment to God through Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, I encourage you just to raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Is there anyone here this morning? Okay. So I trust that all of us here in this room have made a commitment and a relationship. And now we're walking on this journey where God is calling us to trust Him more. And perhaps you've been challenged this morning that the intimacy with God has decreased, and you've noticed that your trust too has decreased. Now's the time to make the decision. God, I need to come back to You. My salvation is secure because You have saved me. But I have perhaps blocked You to only certain times in my life or certain situations. And I have not acknowledged You, and I've not put You and placed You in all of my life. And I want to do that this morning. This is the time for you to make that commitment to Him. God, I don't want to just know You. I want to trust You. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking You right now to build and to grow trust in the lives of my brothers and sisters here this morning. In those areas where trust isn't so high, Father, I ask You, as they draw near to You, that You will draw near to them. They will look upon You and look over all the situations and the circumstances, and they will be able to put on the wall of their heart, I trust God. Thank You, Father. I ask You, Lord, that we would be a people who trust You more today than yesterday, more tomorrow than we do today. And that when all the world around us seems to go crazy, that we will walk in peace and in confidence and assurance because our trust is in You. I ask for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, there's another thing that happens when we trust Him. His word says that there are blessings that come to our lives when we trust Him. And so the benediction, the closing prayer, you all are going to pray. You're going to declare this with me. Would you stand? And let's declare this. O Lord of hosts, how blessed and greatly favored is the man who trusts in You, believing in You, relying on You, and committing himself to You with confident hope and expectation. Amen. Amen. Bless.